How big is the national debt? Now, the conventional answer is around $18 trillion. But a group called Truth in Accounting says the real debt is much larger, more like $81 trillion. That's right, the 1 and the 8 switched. So to figure out how the group gets from 18 to 81, we turn to its founder and CEO, Sheila Weinberg. Sheila, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, Emily.
So at heart, if I read this right, is really a difference in accounting methodologies. So let me ask you, what is the national debt to you at Truth in Accounting?
Well, we believe it includes all of our assets that we have, then minus any bills that we have. We also include the amounts that we owe our veterans, and we also include the amounts that we owe our seniors.
So you have produced basically a credit card statement, and can you just total it up for me?
Yeah, so what it totals to $81 trillion, as you mentioned. We're including the unfunded Social Security promises of about $28 trillion with a T, unfunded Medicare promises of $35 trillion, pension and federal retiree benefits of $6 trillion, and then the public debt of $13 trillion. And then there's some other accounts payable, just vendor invoices of $1.4 trillion. And as I say, we do take off the assets that the government books on its balance sheet of $3.1 trillion to net to the $81 trillion.
So how does this differ when you look at it in this way from that $18 trillion figure that we usually hear?
Well, I usually answer that with a couple of questions to people, which is, do you believe that the federal government owes Social Security and Medicare to our seniors? And do you believe that the federal government owes the amount of debt owed to our veterans? And if you answer yes to those questions, then we believe that you should add those liabilities onto the government's debt.
Well, so, and I know you don't feel this way, but then let me ask you this question, just so we can understand. What is the rationale for leaving those off the conventional figure?
The rationale between leaving those off is that Congress can change the law at any point in time. I once was shocked to hear the chief actuary of Social Security say that the federal government owes no Social Security or Medicare benefits beyond the checks that are currently written.
So $18 trillion to most of us, I think, is a very scary figure. When you get to 81, it's almost like, oh my gosh, how can we possibly even start to tackle this problem? You've started at Truth in Accounting with a report that gets to the heart of this. I'm just wondering what you hope to accomplish with it.
Well, we hope to accomplish that the people know the true debt, because often, portions of the budget are not included in the budget decision, and it's not included in the debt ceiling decision. So huge programs like Social Security and Medicare are left out of those discussions because the true numbers are not included in those.
Well, and there's such hot button political issues. It's almost as if people are sort of afraid to play with that. So, do you think by stating a number that is so much larger than the conventional number that it might actually motivate people to tackle something that's such a difficult situation to tackle in the first place?
Well, again, it's not the number. It's more that the honesty of the number, and that we want to include all the liabilities that the government has.
So the answer to that is yes. Is that what I'm getting?
Well, it's yes that we need to the number is larger, but that's reality. It's not just something we want to scare people with a larger number. It's the reality of the situation.
And tell us, for people who don't know, tell us a little bit about Truth in Accounting. What background do you guys bring to this?
We are financial people. I'm a CPA myself, but also political people and academics, business people. And we just work to educate the public about the finances of governments at the federal, state, and local level, just because we truly believe our democracy is at stake. People really can't be informed participants in their governments because they just aren't given the truth about their government's finances.
It's almost like that old movie Dave, where the impersonator of the president goes to a friend who's an accountant who can figure out all of the spending problems very easily. But what about this? I mean, if people are thinking, okay, it's $81 trillion, where do you start? I mean, what is there a better approach? Well, because we're not really tackling the issue at all. Is there a better approach to it when you know that it's so much larger?
Well, again, with the $81 trillion instead of the $18 trillion when you debate the debt ceiling, if you debate the debt ceiling using the $18 trillion, then if you throw into the mix, well, hey, hold it, our largest expenditures are for Social Security and Medicare, shouldn't we look at that during this debate? People will say, well, no, because those programs, doing the counting that we use, are actually not taking away from the debt. They're not increasing the deficit. They're actually helping it. So why should we include those programs in the debate? So you take off a large amount of, as I say, the largest expenditures out of that debate when it really shouldn't be.
How does this put sequestration, something like that, in perspective?
It takes in, the amounts that they're cutting and all that. Sequestration is, only for the discretionary spending, which, again, leaves off very large, the entitlement programs, which are, huge expenditures of the government every single year and a huge part of these liabilities.
So by keeping sequestration in place, I mean, is that even going to move the needle at all?
It'll move, as you say, the numbers are very large. So,
yes,
it moves it a little bit. Every little bit helps. I wouldn't say, I always tell people, that this is a huge problem, but the only way to fix it is to either bring more money in or take less money out. Sequestration, you could say, takes less money out. So that would help the situation.
A little bit.
A little bit, because again, the larger items, entitlements, are just dwarf all the other items on the balance sheet and also in the deficit.
We're speaking with Sheila Weinberg. She's the founder and CEO of Truth in Accounting, which has produced the U.S. taxpayer's credit card statement, which might look different from what the other things that you've seen about the national debt. Is this a statement that you're sending to Congress or to the public? Whom?
We send it to everybody. We publish it, and thankfully your station has picked it up, and we're looking for other media outlets too. And we do talk to members of Congress. So this is part of our federal project where we discuss a federal topic one every single month. So this is our sixth topic, and we work with members of Congress, their staff, and try to educate the public on this. It will be available online to your listeners on Monday, so we hope they will take a look at it.
And finally, do you sense any sort of willingness among those that you speak to about this to change the way the national debt at least is calculated? I mean, is this wishful thinking?
There has, and I think there currently is a bill in process that I know one of our congressmen, Mike Quigley, has co-sponsored to get these larger numbers, in the discussion. Sponsors of the bill's point is that, we're making long-term decisions by only using short-term information.
Sheila Weinberg is the founder and CEO of Truth in Accounting. Sheila, thank you.
Thank you.